All right, so we'll say a good evening. Welcome back. Hopefully, everybody had a good Ben Azman. Yes, Shikach, Tiona, and Tashoshi for hosting this year. So we're going to, again, we're going to divide up this year just in the few minutes that we have into two parts. We'll try to do a little bit from the Maisim of Rabbi Nachman and Pula Satsadik, and then we'll start actually tonight a beautiful piece in the Kedim Maharan, which will take us to the next couple of weeks. So take a look. We're going to, in the Pula Satsadik, we're looking at section Yud Ches. See, right over here. So remember, we're talking about over here the Simcha, and Peril. So remember, Peril again is the granddaughter of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, who's married to a great tzaddik, Simcha. So the story goes, Pam achas yatsa mi beisav lo chazer. So one time, well, first of all, actually started Yud Zayin. Vehine baylo Reb Simcha zal, haya tzaddik gonuz ma'ot, vahaya oved Hashem nifla davok bedveikis emes bo yisbarach. So Reb Simcha, who again was Peril's husband. So remember, just to orient everyone, Reb Nachman Hari Denker's son-in-law, the Baal Shem Tov's grandson-in-law, married to, again, the granddaughter of the Baal Shem Tov Peril. So Reb Simcha was known as a great tzaddik, but he was a hidden tzaddik. And he shemtech the Shbaruch Hu in incredible ways, but dveikus emes bo yisbarach v'ha yicholim la'avar alav, yomim shlemim shlo yada eifom nimtza ba'olam, meirov divikusa bo yisbarach. This is actually quite an amazing statement. And there were times where days would go by and he didn't know. No one knew where he was. So what's the pshat? So no one knew where he was. Like, he was just sometimes just not of this world. Not those, you know, it's interesting. I was giving a share last night about, it's a part of a series about Eretz Yisrael. Is it the beginning of Gula, not the beginning of the Gula? So last night I focused on the Satmar Rav. So someone told me that after the shir, that they went to visit the Satmar Rav when he was older man already. Satmar Rav suffered a number of strokes. So at the end of his life, he was really devoted. So she said that when you walked into the room with the Satmar Rav, he was white. Everything about him was just white. And she said, you felt like you were standing not in Olam Hazeh. You weren't standing in this world. It was just like an other earthly experience. She said, the smell was something different. The sight, everything was just different of this world. There are some people like that. There are some people who, you know, their bodies are in Olam Hazeh, but their neshamas are not here. They're not fully entrenched here. So Rabbi Simcha apparently was one of those people where for days, sometimes days on end, he would just lose himself in dveikus. Meruv dveikus with tefillah, this bodedus of b'shemus v'yichudim, with tefillah, with his bodedus, of course, means introspective isolation, b'shemus v'yichudim, all different kavanos. There were times we just had no connection to this world at all. This is another piece, which is, you know, there are some people, sometimes you meet people like this, where you see that, like, they're uncomfortable being in Olam Hazeh. There are some people that they're just so ruchni, they're just so kaddish, their neshama is the dominant part of their being, that they just don't feel at home here. They're just never at peace. They're never at home. They're never fully settled in this world. So apparently Rabbi Simcha was one of those people. Take a look at paragraph Yud Ches. Pam achas, this is amazing ma'isa. Pam achas yatsa mi beis ovelo chazer. So one time, Rabbi Simcha left his home and he didn't return. Va'avru kama shvuos va'adayin lo chazer. Can you imagine this, right? So sometimes husbands get a little bit of flack if, you know, you say you're going to be home at 6, you're home at 6. So apparently Rabbi Simcha was gone for weeks. No one knew where he was. So ubesoch kach higia lel tevila shal ishto atzadekes maras fega. Vezer haya b'lel Shabbos. It was time for his wife Fega to go to the mikvah. And her lel tevila was on Shabbos night. Kishegia erev Shabbos ubayla adayin lo ba. When erev Shabbos came and her husband wasn't home, Haisala agmas nefesh gedola mizeh. She had incredible pain as a result of this. Ki alayla hazeh, yihye lo lel tevila. She's supposed to go to the mikveh that night. And she doesn't know, is her husband going to be home or is her husband not going to be home? V'haisa tzadekes gedola. V'alkim, just listen to these words. So she was a great tzadekes. She doesn't know where her husband is. V'alkim baboker, b'shas hafrasha schala, yichada yichudin. When she was being mafresh challah erev Shabbos morning, so she had special kavanas, and apparently, again, those special kavanas allowed her insight into certain things that happened in this world. So she had a special kavana, bayat bashas chala. That kavana would normally give her incredible insight to see, is her husband coming home for Shabbos, not coming home for Shabbos. Ach lo rasa shum dover. But she saw nothing. She was very upset. And again, when she's lighting Neros, she has special kavanas. And usually those kavanas, again, gave her specific insight into the world, into what was happening. But still, she can't see anything about her husband. He says, So apparently their minhag was that they used to light candles 2 hours before tzeis. So what does she do? What does the granddaughter of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh do when she's in distress? She goes to the Zayda's grave, to the Baal Shem Tov's grave. She begins to daven. What should I do? Where's my husband? I'm supposed to go to the mikvah tonight. Should I go to the mikvah? Not go to the mikvah. Ha'im baila yachso the Shabbos. Kodesh, my husband will be home for Shabbos. V'yichada sham harbi yichudim at shiniskala lahaba shem tov ha'kodesh v'amarlah. So amazingly enough, she has so much kavano that her grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, appeared to her. And he said to her, Ervet kumim, ervet kumim. At er his shoin un tchum Shabbos. Baal Shem Tov said to her, you can see the translation is in footnote tough, Hu yavo, kvar besoch tchum Shabbos. He's coming, your husband's coming, he's already in the tchum, don't worry. Listen to this, Maisa. V'kein haya, sheba v'nichnas abeisak nasas, v'kibel Shabbos kodesh. So what happened? Indeed, Rabbi Simcha came home. He got home before Shabbos. And what happens? He says, V'herich betfila ma'od ma'od gudvekos nora v'nifla. And he had incredible davening with incredible dvekos. Kim'at bispashtus hagashmius legamrei. That's what literally Rosai, that he had a tefila. You know, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak writes about this. Rabbi Yitzchak says that sometimes when a tzaddik davens, there's such dvekos, there's such connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that literally the tzaddik is a danger of dying. Meaning, because what tefillah is a connection between the neshama and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are some tzaddikim who have such a powerful tefillah experience that literally the neshama does not want to come back to the guf. The neshama does not want to resume life in this world. So they used to say, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, you should know, always daven with a gabbai next to him. Why? Because can you imagine this? The Rebbe sometimes was in danger of too much devekus. So the Gabbai's job was, you know, I don't know, he sees the Rebbe's eyes rolling back, whatever it is, if he sees the Rebbe, his job was literally like to shake the Rebbe. Like to make sure that it's just like a different level. So Rebbe Simcha, he's home, he's davening, kimat, he's pashtos gashmi the Gabbai, almost like his soul is ready to disassociate from the body. Vehi halcha, Benkach uBenkach leBeis Atzilah. So she went. Fega. She went to the mikvah that night. V'haisa avodasa b'la Shabbos Kodesh hazad yotzeis minakla. And when Reb Simcha came home, his avoda that night was something that was li'elo u'li'elo. Hachona l'kiddush archa zman rav. So ultimately, again, the hachona's preparations for kiddush took a long time. V'advekus v'hashemos v'yichudim sheyichid b'shas kiddush u'b'shas achila. And his kavanas that night with kiddush, with eating, were just beyond description. Of course, again, so that night is Leil Tevila. There's a mitzvah of owner, there's a mitzvah to be one's with one's wife on the night that she goes to the mikvah. Ubalayla hazeh nimshecha nishmas Rabbeinu Zal ba'olam. It was that night that Rabbi Nachman was conceived. That night that Rabbi Nachman was conceived, Vinis Abra Imo Atzadekes Maras Vega. So as I see here, this being, what's incredible about this Maisa? There's so many incredible things about this Maisa. But you understand that in a neshama like Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, a neshama like Rabbi Nachman, on a neshama like that has such kedusha, it's not acquired kedusha, it's innate kedusha. It's innate kedusha, and when there's innate kedusha comes from that everything all around the birth, the conception, everything was b'kedusha u'b'tara. That's how Rabbi Nachman is first conceived, ultimately in this incredible cocoon of holiness, this incredible cocoon of purity. The story also, the Maaseh of course, also teaches us just the incredible need to be makdish intimacy. This in general is probably one of the greatest nisyonos we have in our present dar, because we live in a very sexualized society, and the sexualized nature of society is not kaddish, meaning it's lustful, it's all about self-gratification. And the difficult part is, you know, if you grow up in this world, and no matter how sheltered you are, there's always exposure to something. We grow up with this flawed understanding of intimacy, this flawed understanding of what it is, of that yes, a person can have this beautiful and pleasurable relationship, but with Kiddush and Tara. And when there's Kiddush and Tara, that's ultimately when the offspring from those unions are Kadosh and Tara as well. Incredible, but this is the story of the conception of Rabbi Nachman. One wouldn't think that they would find such a maestro like this. It's a little bit, you know, this is not like, I remember you when you were a baby. There is no horoscope book about this. No, you'll not find it in English. I don't know if you're going to find it online. Maybe you won't find it online. But I will say, but again, this is, so why am I sharing this maestro with you? Because, you know, this is, you know, Torah hi velilmod anitzarech. You know, this is Torah also. Chassidish and Maisalach are not just like nice stories. They're Torah. They're Torah, meaning there's lessons in them. So there's an incredible lesson about how to approach intimacy. There's an incredible lesson, ultimately, again, and it's an incredible lesson about intimacy, an incredible lesson of Kiddush and Tara, an incredible lesson. This is the other lesson. Then we're going to go on to Likutei Moharan. The other lesson we'll say is that if a person wants to be Kadosh v'tahar, we'll say a person has to make their surroundings Kadosh and Tahar also. You see, if we're honest with ourselves, so sometimes the reason we allow ourselves to be exposed to certain things, certain influences, because we assume they won't really impact us. That's the honest truth. Meaning, so I could hang out with this person, or go to this place, or engage in this form of entertainment, or look at this, or do this, and it's okay because I'm still a from Jew. Now that is true. You are still a from Jew, even no matter how many chatam a person does. A person is beloved by Hashem. A person is a good Jew. But we do these things because we think they don't impact us. But it's not true. Every single thing we do in life impacts us, and every single thing we do in life ultimately goes ahead and has an impact on our neshama, on our gestalt, on our identity. I'll say, just by the way, what's the polar opposite of this story? What's the mamish, like the exact opposite of this maisa? Exact opposite of this maisa is the mamzer. Right? Think about this for just a moment. What's the halacha by a mamzer? So a very simple case, not a simple case, but the straightforward case of mamzer. A married man, meaning two people married to two other people, have a relationship, or married woman becomes pregnant with someone other than her husband. Good. Not good. I'm not condoning it. I want to go on the record. Right? So again, what's the status of the child? Mamzer. What's the avi yishayla with mamzerus? What do the kids do? Hey, understand, you have to understand something, meaning being a mamzer is a horrible thing. A horrible thing. You are dramatically limited as to who you can marry. Remember again, you can only marry other mamzerim, or potentially a ger, giores, but you're limited. You're limited. And again, it's not just that, just the stigma attached to it is huge. And again, here you have an innocent child who came into this world. Chassi, I didn't ask for my parents, my biological parents, to commit these surim. And now, again, I'm marked as a mamzer. So the Sefer HaChinuch says something amazing. What does Sefer HaChinuch says? Everyone knows, teva ha'av, tzofun baben, that the nature of the father is embedded in the child. The nature of the father is embedded in the child. So if the father was a Rasha, the father did something bad. If the father did a Maisa Avera, and the child was conceived through a Maisa Avera, the child is not immune to the impact of those actions. Those actions leave a residue. So it's not a punishment. It's not a punishment for the child, but rather, what is it? It's a Metzias. It's a Metzias. Chaim Shlomo Tzvi says the same way. I'm sorry? What about Bechira?
I'm saying, his father was a Rasha, doesn't mean that he's going to be a Rasha.
Nothing, it has nothing to do with rishos. He's not a Russian. You could be a mamzer tzaddik. You could be a mamzer tzaddik. But the idea is that he's tainted. His neshama is tainted. His mitzios is tainted. Because when you are conceived through a maisa avera, your mitzios is tainted. Now again, after 120, is the mamzer held accountable because he was a mamzer? Of course not. But lamaisa, there's cause and effect in this world. You know, Chaim Shalevitz gives the example of this. He speaks, you know, if you stick your hand in fire, you're going to get burned. Is that a punishment? Is that a punishment? I'm getting punished? No, it's a metzias. So his whole yisod is, person commits an aveira, there's an onesh, there's a punishment. But it's not really a punishment, it's a cause and effect. So a child conceived through illicit sin, just by definition, that neshama is compromised. That neshama is handicapped. And therefore, again, lamaisa, that handicap remains with the child throughout his entire life. I'm just bringing this to you because, again, this is also, by the way, there's a whole body of law about this. This is why, again, the Gemara talks about that if a man, and really applies a lot more to a man, if a man doesn't have the right kind of machshavas when he's with his wife, it could potentially taint offspring. When I say right machshavas, the Gemara says, a man's with his wife and he's thinking about another woman. Or he's thinking... These are the kind of things I will say where again, my kavanas, and my intentions, and where my neshama is holding in these most intimate moments, absolutely has an impact on the child. So I'm just pointing out to you how again you see the extremes. The mamzerus is an example of a child conceived with no kiddusha. That's the real chap. There is no kiddusha in that union, and when there is no kiddusha, the offspring is compromised. Rabbi Nachman, born and conceived of a union of love, of incredible, unimaginable kiddusha. So it's almost like to be a Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, you kind of have to have this spiritual head start. You know, you need to already come into the world with a little bit of a foundation. That's how he comes in, through kiddusha, through tara, through incredible metzias. All right, that's Pulas Hatzadik. Let's begin. Turn the page. Likutei Moharan. Oh, that's literally. All right, good. We'll get in a few minutes. So let's say, so first of all, you know, you could spend the whole night just on Pulas Hatzadik. There's so much, but we'll get a little bit of both. So we're just going to begin this piece today, and then we're going to continue it next week. So we're now in Memra Hei. We're up to Memra Hei in the Kutim Moharan. So take a look in the left-hand paragraph. Kitzarech kol adam lomar, lo nivra, kol ha'olam lo nivra ela bishvili. So here, the Gemara discusses, quotes the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, that a person is supposed to say, the entire world was only created for me. So I must say, so you know, what does that mean? The world was created for me. Meaning, this could obviously, if misunderstood, could lead to a very egotistical, self-centered, egocentric existence. The entire world is my kosher oyster. You know, the world is mine. The world is mine. What does that mean? Kol ha'olam nivra bishvili. So, look what the Rebbe writes. This is amazing. He says, Nimsa, kisha'olam nivra bishvili, tsarech ani liros ula'ayin bechol eis betikuna olam. So, the Rebbe says, you know what it means? What does he call ha'olam nivra bishvili? He says, there's one word missing. Kola olam nivra bishvili litakein. The entire world was created for me to fix that which is broken. You know, the Chovas HaLevavos brings down this yisod. Actually, I should have zivaxed it. I'm not sure. We might do Chovas HaLevavos next. We're going to finish Masechas Yesharim soon. Debating. I'm just talking this out with the Chavir. Right? Bless you. Right, so again, whether we're going to do Shari Tshuva or Chovas, bless you, or Chovas HaLevavos. A lot, these are decisions. These are Dvar Ma'om Dimurumo Shalom. So, the Chovas HaLevavos writes this idea. He says, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an imperfect world? Right, do you ever wonder about this? There are so many imperfections. So let's pshat. The Ribbono Shel Olam could do anything. So why did he go ahead and create an imperfect world? Now the truth is, if you want to know the origin of this kasha, of this shayla, the origin is by Maaseh Bereishis. What happened by Maaseh Bereishis? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating the fruit trees. And what does, remember, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks out what he's going to create, what does he say he's going to create? Eitz pri, oseh pri. Fruit trees that produce fruits. It says Rashi HaKadosh, what was the original machshava? The original machshava was, the fruit was going to taste like fruit, and Abbas, if you can imagine this, what? The trees, the branches, the bark, was also going to taste like fruit. But yet, when it comes to the actual mice of creation, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created eitz oseh pri. Trees that create fruit. And writes Rashi HaKadosh, oh, the trees disobeyed. The fruit tastes like fruit, the trees taste like trees. So, Frech the Maral, right, says the Maral in Gur Aryeh, what do you mean the trees disobeyed? Trees don't have bechira. Trees don't have the ability to disagree with the tzibah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Maharal gives his answer. The Chobos HaLevavos of Cook all give the same answer, which is amazing. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create Eitz Pri Oseh Pri, what he was looking to create was a perfect world. Because think about that for a moment. What's represented? If the truth, it's a fruit tastes like fruit, and the trees taste like fruit, it represents almost like a level of universal harmony and equilibrium. Everything is sweet. Everything is good. Everything is perfect. But then says the Chovas HaLevavos, says Rav Kook, the Ribono Shel Olam said, no. Perfection is not to be found in this world. Perfection is only in the celestial sphere. Perfection is Klapei Shemayo, it's with the Ribono Shel Olam, but it's not here. But ask the Chovas HaLevavos, why not? Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu create perfection in this world? So what's the answer? It's going to blow your mind. Chovas HaLevavos says, the Ribono Shel Olam purposely left the world imperfect to allow us to actualize our identities as creators. The Ribono Shel Olam says to us, you can partner with me in my Sebereshis. I created the world, but I left imperfections. You know what the tachlis of the imperfections are? For you to go and fix them. The Shbaruch Hu created an imperfect world perfectly in order to allow us to partner with him in the creative process. So that we could see what's wrong, we could see what's broken, and we could find the koach to go ahead and fix it. That's the tachlis. Says Rabbi Nachman of Brezna, we'll stop with this line, says Rabbi Nachman something amazing. Nimtza kisha'olam nivra bishli. What does it mean? The whole world was created for me. Created for me for what? Tzarech ani liros. I have to look around. Ula ayin. And to really look deeply. Bechol eis at all times. Betikuna olam. What I'll say is amazing. What's our job in life? You know, I'll say in life there are two kinds of people. There are people, there are one group of people who they could tell you what's wrong with everything. Right? They could tell you what's wrong with you. They could tell you what's wrong with this. They could tell you what's wrong with this. And they're mamish mumchim. They're bekiim, experts on pointing out the imperfections. And what do they do to remedy the imperfections? Nothing. They're great at pointing them out, but don't have the courage to fix it. Then there's a second group of people who accept the imperfections in life. They accept the imperfections in others. They accept the imperfections of the world, and they realize they're all here for one purpose: to fix the imperfections in this world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts imperfections front and center. Internal imperfections, external imperfections, and what's the mandate in life? Kola olam lo nivra ella bishvili litakein. The entire world was only created for me to go ahead and fix that which was wrong. And Rabosai, if we accept this approach of Rabbi Nachman, we'll stop over here for tonight, but if we accept this approach of Rabbi Nachman, you understand that life becomes dramatically different. Because it means is every single time you stumble upon something that is broken, whether it's a broken person or a broken situation, my avoda is what? To try to fix it. Tikkun olam. Right? Not tikkun olam, but tikkun olam. Right? The problem is, meaning if we're honest, tikkun olam was hijacked by other movements in Judaism, so orthodoxy to a very large degree wrote it off. But tikkun olam is not something that like conservative and reform Jewry ever discovered. This is what Rabbi Nachman is saying. It's tikkun olam. At the end of the day, there are so many things wrong. And instead of spending my time talking about what's wrong, kola olam no nivra ella bishvili letakein es olami. The whole world was created for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in a world filled with imperfections. Why? In order to give me the schus of partnering with him in Ma'aseh Bereishis. How do I partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Ma'aseh Bereishis? By trying to fix that which is imperfect. We'll stop over here. We're going to pick up with this memory of Mir Tzashem next week. Sorry.